So I have a few great questions from member Vincent that I thought would be best done in an audio so that at least we can all kind of learn from these questions. Vincent's been hard at work building his marketing engine, if you will, his website and some of the foundational pieces. And he says that his business has been a little slow lately. So he's looking for some ideas to get work in the door soon and potentially avoid this situation where business has been slow. And I think this is pretty common for a lot of people. We get busy. And I know this was the case with Vincent. We were able to get clients and have multiple revenue streams, and that's all good stuff. And then maybe we start kind of getting a little bit more complacent with our marketing. We stop doing it a little bit. So I'm going to give Vincent some advice, and hopefully, Vincent, this is useful for you and helps get you started and reigniting your engine. And just remember that even though we're marketers, marketing ourselves is a whole different animal. And sometimes we can't kind of get past our own limitations, if you will, like our own, you know, we know what to do. And then, but like, where do we start? Because we kind of know too much about what all the options are. And what I want to help you do is focus on what's core, what's essential. You really don't need to do as much as you think. Yes, you're going to want to dedicate as much time as you can to your marketing on an ongoing basis. You don't want to have the situation like I'm kind of currently in a little bit, where you're so busy that it's hard to market yourself. Because the reason, for example, that I'm busy today is because that stuff was baked in 6 months ago from the work that I was doing back then. And so you'd never want to kind of stop watering the plants, even though you're bearing fruit today, because that's what's going to keep you in this game for the longest stretch of time with minimal disruption and minimal downside. So let's break into it. So Vincent's getting his website going. He's kind of got it just about done. And what I would propose to you, Vincent, you know, a lot of us build this website and we put a lot of effort into it. Have something that's online already, something that's good enough, even if it's a simple landing page or a couple different pages that have your services and something else, you know, like if you go to kvnw.com, which is my kind of catch-all website that I don't promote, but is there in case leads come to me. On that site, I have an about page, and I also have a services page, and I have a testimonials page. That's the bare bones of a website and a homepage, obviously. So you don't need a lot, but having something that's kind of good enough, text-based with a nice authoritative looking photo of you is going to be more than enough to get started with a good clear list of services, good positioning, and some testimonials to back up your expertise. That's all you need to get started. So while you're building this perfect website, get something up that's good enough. That's kind of my general principle to everyone. Get it up, make it better is kind of my motto. Get it done, make it better is kind of my motto. So you're kind of getting close. Just make sure that, you know, you don't spend too much time getting it over the finish line and overly perfecting it. I haven't checked, but make sure you have a website up, and that's kind of the main thing. Okay, so he says business has been a little bit slow, especially during the summer. It got me worried a bit. What would you do in order to generate a short-term sales for me? It's brushing up my network and telling people about my new offer and target group, and then get some leads in that way. So like I mentioned in the recent training, which is, you know, I think I call it marketing fundamentals, or how I market myself. I don't even know because I haven't put it in the members area yet. But the latest training from this week, talks about how I do it. And what I kind of said was, I don't really think in terms of fast. Luckily, I haven't really needed to generate business fast. That's a whole topic in and of itself. I try to think of leverage. And so how do I go where my target market is already hanging out and build connections with the people who aggregate that group, looking at the golden goose method. So how do I get talking to people at conferences or talking at conferences, presenting for communities, startup groups, that kind of thing, any way that I can get in front of a target market, offer value and promote the thing. And ideally you're building a list so that you're also able to then promote your activity there. But that's kind of how I think in terms of more leverage versus speed. But if I did want to go for speed, yeah, I think you're doing it the right way in terms of, brushing up your network, publishing on LinkedIn, just kind of reminding people you are there, that you're in business, that you're taking clients. Maybe not in such an overt way, but just kind of reminding people. And ideally you do that through publishing content and your ideas, and you get into a very consistent rhythm on LinkedIn specifically, but maybe it's Twitter if you're in the startup world. But definitely getting in your network and kind of just talking, communicating, adding value to the conversation is a great fast approach. And then, you know, most people shy away from this one particular thing, which is reaching out to your ideal customer profile. And so and offering some value to go with it, saying like a little video or something that goes, hey, basically, like, you know, my name is Vincent. I focus on these kinds of businesses. you fit perfectly in that category. I recently did a training or I reviewed your website and here are some suggestions for you just to kind of get the ball rolling in terms of how I think. I think you're doing a great job in all of these areas. Here are some areas you may want to consider. I just wanted to leave this with you in case it seemed like it was a priority for you to solve this problem. Like something like that, whether it's something that they can get value of or whether it's something related to their business. Ideally, you don't want to bash their marketing or bash their business in any way. This is about, hey, you're doing well. Here's some of the examples of ways you're doing well. And here's how I can potentially see you adding more value to your website. Just wanted to offer this as a way to kind of introduce myself rather than pitch. I mean, something like that might work. You just have to really think about how someone's going to receive it, and particularly a marketing department, if the owner, for example, is going to pass that on to the marketing team. Is it complimentary of what's going on already rather than bashing? You don't want to come in bashing. You want to come in and saying, hey, you're doing a great job. I work with companies exactly like yours. Here's how I help. And here's some ways that we could theoretically, and I don't know about your situation, but we could theoretically do that for you. Is this a priority? Would you be interested in chatting about this? No worries if not. You know, just thought I'd reach out and let you know. And that to me is much better than, you know, reaching out in general with nothing to offer, but you could do that as well. You know, sometimes just knocking on enough doors is going to be enough to open one for you. So that's how I might approach it. Another example is recently someone added me to LinkedIn, who's an owner of a multi-location co-working space. And the interesting thing was they were someone that a current client referenced as a website that they like. So because the owner connected with me, which is what you want. You want your marketing to attract these people rather than you having to knock on doors. But at least, he reached out, he connected with me. Now my next plan is to reach out and say, hey, great to be connected with you. It's interesting. One of my clients referenced your website recently as a website they liked and thought that I'd point out that you're admired by some of your peers. Hope all is well. Maybe we connect at the next event kind of thing. And that's how I'm going to leave it. So that's, you know, ideally you want to be generating inbound, but in terms of speed, you really don't want to be in this position in the first place. But I think some form of outreach and value added, genuine, not bashing, and having a clear area that you can help with first. For example, you're in growth hacking. Here are some ways you could do that. You know, signed up for your app. Notice there's a few things here. Here's a couple of ideas for you. Just wanted to share that out of, goodwill. And if you feel like chatting at some point, we'd love to chat with you about how I could do more of this kind of work for you. So that's fast. And then the other method theoretically is advertising on Google and looking up, having people look up, fractional CMO or those kinds of things. But I really don't recommend it unless you have the capacity to field leads and you have the desire to write custom proposals and all that stuff. Not really my first choice. You can get business reasonably fast with slower methods, through organic methods, for example, but, it's up to you. I've seen people use it and get leads and, you have to make sure that you're attracting the right kind of person. So, for example, a marketing consultant might be a fit for you, and then focusing on the Swiss market, which is where you're in. I'm not sure, but that's like one of the only other ways you're going to get fast, stuff. But let's refocus on some of these next part of your questions, which is about, you said, what are the main factors not to get into this feast and famine cycle again? And how do I streamline growth for myself? And so my kind of fundamentals, and if you go back to that training I mentioned earlier, I'll kind of talk about this. It was partly inspired by your questions, which is about getting your house in order first before you go inviting people to the party. And I used a house analogy and I totally mixed metaphors and they barely made sense, but it's how I think about building marketing programs. You start with strategy, which is really about good positioning and really clear focus on what you do and how you help people. And then you kind of build from there. You build a website, a very basic one at first, if you can, just to get it up and running with your core value proposition, and then improve that as time goes on and improve that with more content and making that a rich environment. I call it like fertile soil from which to plant your seeds. You're really farming, right? You're building a place that you can invite people back to, as Michael Port would say in Book Yourself Solid. And really want to make it like, wow, there's a ton of interesting and highly relevant stuff to the problem I have in the situation I'm in. And it seems to be reasonably targeted toward me. So I'm going to stick around. I'm going to sign up for the mailing list or maybe reach out and maybe ask to be hired to hire you. So that's how I look at it, is you have a strategy, clear focus, you get your website going, that builds on top of that strategy. And then you build the content on it first. Your website is the place you want to invite people back to, not necessarily your LinkedIn profile, your Twitter, anything else. Your website is there. That website has got to be designed to get people on an email list. And the way you do that is by offering something of high value, a mini course, checklist, you know, things that are low time effort, high value. Sometimes it's a training or a recording of a webinar, or whatever. And that's, you know, something that feels like low cognitive load, therefore not risky in terms of time. Like an ebook would be probably too big unless it was very specific. But you can, yeah, have something there that attracts people to your email list, which only works when you have a clear target market. And I think you do. So that's kind of the plan. Once you have that content engine going, you're distributing that content through email, you're distributing it through LinkedIn, and you are getting that message, getting your thoughts and expertise out there. Rather than just leaving all your best ideas on LinkedIn, think about publishing first on your website, distributing through email, and then getting social media as the last stage on it, publishing natively onto these platforms, and then mentioning that they can go to your website to get your free opt-in incentive or whatever else, driving people back to your website and furthering your positioning. So this type of content engine is the basis for everything else. And if you get this right, you don't need to do much more. Like this, like I've done only this, mostly this, and I've gotten, you know, I've had no problems getting clients for the last many years. And, you know, it's been really steady in part because of that. So you'd be surprised. A lot of it is like, it's really hard to find people when you need them. And so a lot of this is just being consistent, showing up often. You know, in the beginning, you want to create a high frequency consistency. So showing up often. Other people focus on potency, but I find that that can really undermine people. It can hold you back from actually producing anything because you feel like you have to create this really high end content that's super polished and specific. And frankly, that's just overkill. So you don't want to overdo it, and you want to just get base hits. You want to get on base, publish, get out, publish, get out, publish it out over and over again, and just be present because that's when people are going to notice you, both your target market, but also people who can refer you to your target market. And that's where they're going, hey, I know you're looking for someone. Vincent keeps showing up and he keeps doing this content. He's publishing articles, he's publishing examples, teardowns, all kinds of stuff. Like, don't just think about just text, think about multimedia. You know, can you look at a website and break it down and see what they're doing and make that into a video or a slide deck, or, you know, like useronboarding.com, I believe, has a bunch of onboarding slides. Which may or may not relate to you and your growth hacking methodologies, but basically out teaching the competition has got to be your goal. And then, yeah, engaging with the target market and connecting with people. When you do the outreach, when you do that other stuff, they're going to come back, look at your identity. It's going to be relevant. They're going to come back to your website. It's going to be hyper fertile. There's going to be tons of content and credibility and all that stuff because you built it up over time. Such that you don't need to swing the axe too hard later on. Like eventually when you've specialized and worked with a type of client for so long, people come to your website, you can show your client list and they go, wow, like he or she is oddly specific and has tons of experience with companies just like mine. This is the obvious fit. And just keep in mind, remember, it is hard to find people to do the thing that you need them to do. It's hard to find that great freelancer, consultant, agency. So by you making yourself present and consistent, you're going to generate word of mouth, which is where a lot of your business is going to come from. But your website has to be the hub of that. I feel like LinkedIn is kind of like flowing water. Some people put their best ideas there and then there's no way to reference it. You can go under the profile and look at their activity and find their past posts, but it's like, it's kind of ephemeral. And whereas your website ranks in Google and I'm sure LinkedIn does to some extent, but not if you're just putting posts. So yeah, like, you know, it's just the place that houses your best thinking, and you can organize that as time goes on. So you want to make it fertile. You want to make it valuable and value added and drive people to an email list, which is where you're going to really nurture them and build those long-term audiences that are going to turn into potential clients later on. So you want to outteach the competition. You want to build a body of work. You want to create a fertile environment on your website and then distribute on all these other platforms. And so so that's how you kind of get out of it. But then the other day, you can check in Slack in one of the audio files, I mentioned how I do, like why I've been so successful for so long at selling advisory services in general, but also just in kind of business. And when I say so successful, I just mean like never feeling desperate for the next client. Although there's definitely been times where you're kind of worried that everything could fall apart, and that's a normal and a separate thought altogether. And so that comes back to your business model. So So ideally you're kind of designing your business model. If you want to follow my method, and obviously this isn't prescriptive, that everyone's got a different approach and a different way of running their business. But there's a few things that I do that help me, and you can go back and listen to that. But one of them is diversification. So having, you know, a specialized website and a generalist website works well for me. Yours is general enough in that it's for startups, but I think you focus on Swiss startups, which is okay. You may not need that Swiss part, and I'll talk to you about that when I do a website teardown. But you know, Swiss could just be a known factor if you are Swiss based, and that can be part of your kind of underlying brand, but it may not be needed in your core positioning necessarily. You may find that all Europeans benefit or enjoy having you be in Switzerland because it's close to them. It's easier than working with someone from the United States or Canada, for example, or Australia, or pick your country. So anyway, whether you focus on Swiss or not doesn't matter. But when I say diversification, I'm offering multiple services to multiple target markets, one being KVNW, which is my general catch-all, and that's about 40% of my business. One being Everspaces, which is another 40% of my business, and that's focused on co-working spaces. And then the other one being Kevin.me, which is entirely focused on, and this membership, which is entirely focused on marketing consultants. And so I have two niches and one kind of general catch-all. I only market myself for the two niches and let the catch-all catch business, and it catches 40% of my revenue. So I like to have it there because it doesn't turn people away who might be a fit, but don't fit into my core target markets, which are many companies. Obviously, most of us can help a lot of different kinds of businesses, and I turn away companies that I believe I can't help, and that's really important as well. But I'm diversified. Number two is recurring. So I try to build all of my services, all of my products, primarily on recurring, and use any product or one-off revenue as bonus. So not something that I would depend on or overly rely on. So diversification, recurring. In order to do that, I like to be holistic. I like to own the whole problem of marketing. I don't like to focus on just retention or just onboarding or just customer acquisition. I want to be thinking, like, if this helps you grow your business, I'm going to help you navigate it, figure it out, work with the right people, do it in the right way, make sure that it's all integrated and aligned, and upskill your team if needed. So it's holistic. It's the whole problem of marketing and growth under one umbrella. So it's a one-stop shop in that regard. And I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the specializations, but I know how to find them. I know how to navigate the world. I know how to hire people. One of the things I'm thinking of doing is actually having a service dedicated to matchmaking, to helping companies hire professionals to do the work that they need done for them. So that'd be another form of diversification. So anyways, diversifying your revenue and potentially your audience. I'm not saying that's right for you. I'm just telling you what I do. Recurring revenue rather than projects as a main focus for where you make your money. I probably make about 5 or 10% of my annual income from projects, and most of it is just ongoing advisory retainers and or memberships, and then some project and or info product sales that are recurring and non-recurring happen every year as well. So recurring, big one, and then holistic. And the last two are open-ended. So it's, you want to ideally solve an evergreen problem that doesn't just go away, like onboarding or, you know, some part of the funnel that once it's kind of solved, it's sort of solved. You ideally want to be positioned in a way that allows you to be around for a long time. And this is counter to a lot of consultants' advice, right? Just like you have to niche or be generalist. Like, I believe you can be both. And in many cases, it benefits from being both. A lot of people will say, like, you should work, you should get in, work with a client, and then leave. I kind of believe that in the longer term relationship, and I want to solve the problem. I want to continually make myself redundant. I want my clients to own all the assets, all the tools, direct relationships with all the suppliers, so that I could be dropped tomorrow and they would still have everything they need to be successful and to build and continue on what we do. So even my notes document with my consulting clients are typically on their Google Drive folder. And so when we leave, they retain all of it. I leave with nothing. And that's intentional. So I make myself redundant, but I also make myself valuable and available for as long as they need me. And sometimes that means lowering my price and reducing the amount of scope after a while, once they're up and running, and provide more insurance and lightweight guidance. And that just creates a really sturdier base of base revenue that creates a low watermark that is sustainable. And that means I don't have to go out and find new clients every month, which is where I think a lot of people really struggle. And it's just a really hard thing to do, to generate, especially high ticket clients over and over again, or even low ticket, like all clients. Anyone pulling out their wallet is challenging. So That's why I think in terms of how do I keep it open-ended, solve an evergreen problem, a holistic one, therefore producing recurring revenue in a diversified way. And then finally is price and team alignment. And that's where I price my work and align myself with the people in their team. So if they have a CMO, I don't want to step on their toes. I don't want to sell a CMO style service. That's why I kind of shy away from that in many cases. But how do I make myself a value add to my client's internal team and not a hindrance? And so it's a fine line. Sometimes marketing managers are hired. Sometimes marketing managers bring me in, and sometimes the CEO brings me in, and the marketing manager kind of has to collaborate with me. And I try to really, I don't manage them. I don't step on their toes. I really compliment and build on the things that are working well. Try to give them a lot of space to run their own thing and then contribute where they ask. But it depends, you know, so you have to kind of make your price aligned with the value that you're creating and make it easy enough to sustain your fees. I think this is where a lot of people make very top heavy fees and don't reduce them and just want to capitalize and make as much money on that problem upfront. I'm more in the mindset that, especially with marketing, maybe this is different than other problems and areas of business, but change takes time. That's why most of my engagements start at 6 months minimum. And then they're open-ended after that, or we renegotiate. But I just know that like things take time. So I want to align my prices in a way that they can sustain, that it's not like I'm not the tallest. I might be the tallest poppy, but I'm not so taller. And when I mean tallest poppy, this is something else I mentioned. If your expenses are significantly higher than all the other marketing expenses every day, a CEO or CMO, when they look at their books, are going to go, wow, that's one tall poppy. We should cut it. That flower is ready for picking. And so you don't want that to be going on in the minds of your client, ideally. You want to maybe make your money up front, especially within more intensive engagements. Like I charge more for pre-launch co-working spaces than I do for established ones, even single location businesses. And then it goes more expensive again for multi-location. But that's because the work is more intensive. The value is more intense because the downstream impacts of starting off successfully versus starting off poorly and having to redo things and everything else is changed. So it's both more work for me, but also a lot more value. So I charge more for it. Not like a price prohibitive amount, but a price that turns some people off and others are fine by it because they invest millions into building out their space. And you know, what's another 25, 30, 40 grand, on top of that. So yeah, all that is to say is you want to align your price with the value you're creating. And if you're going to be in a long-term engagement, you want to make sure that price point is something that they can stomach and stand for a longer period of time so that you can see the work through, not so you can be a leech on the business, but so that you can see the value through to completion. Because a lot of times, and this is why I don't often sell strategy or roadmaps or planning engagements, because they can't execute. And usually I need to stick around long enough to wiggle through the cracks and iterate and find what do we need to do to get that result. And sometimes that takes a long time. So just to recap, retention is such a key factor to reducing the feast and famine cycle. And you do that through diversification, both in terms of who you serve and the types of things you sell. They're recurring in nature rather than project, primarily with projects being a contributing factor, but not the main factor. They're holistic in nature. They solve the whole problem of X. So whether you are, if you're a content marketing person, solve the whole problem of how content helps people get more clients. If you're a marketing strategist in general, solve the whole problem of marketing. And that's what I do. I keep my relationships open-ended. I've solved those evergreen problems. They can cancel any time after a certain point. But in order for that to be a long-term engagement and have high retention, which I do, some clients stay with me for years and years and years. One since 2019, another, went from 2017 to 2022. So people stay, but I want to make it price and team aligned. So make sure that your positioning and your pricing contributes to the organization in a way that there's no team members who are incentivized to see you leave. And it's sometimes a fine dance, but you want to play it. So that's kind of the main stuff in that part. You did ask one more question. How do I add leverage apart from, better monetization via courses and advisory services? I think leverage comes later. I think in the beginning, you want to sell some form of execution, get kind of busy on that where you're kind of doing, you're in the weeds, then move to more of a managed / advisory model where you're kind of a fractional CMO or a managed advisor, where you'll kind of manage things and you'll advise on it. You'll kind of guide stuff along, put people together. You're not executing. You're really there to kind of put the pieces in place and maybe even help hire an internal marketing person. And then after you're kind of leading or managing, you're kind of good at more to an advisory engagement. And then, you know, along the line, aside from mini courses and trainings and stuff, then you can start to think of how do I create more leverage here? How do I sell down market with memberships or other things, mentoring, you know, where you look to your peers and you say, hey, peers, like, looks like you're trying to figure out how to be a growth hacking marketing consultant. I can help with that. Or, hey, marketing managers, looks like you want to level up your game. You were hired as a junior. You're now kind of intermediate because you've been with the company for a while. How do you then take that to a senior level? And so that's more like mentoring. Mentoring to me is when you help people do stuff that you've done before successfully that they also want to do. So whether that's helping other consultants or whether that's helping other internal marketing managers level up their skills in their game, that's totally fair game. You can do in-house training for that. You can do coaching. You can do, which is a form of sort of mentoring. It doesn't really matter, but that's another way to kind of create more leverage in an advisory capacity. And then if you get enough interest and enough demand, you can then start to squeeze it into kind of group offerings and that kind of thing. But I typically wouldn't start there. Another thing you can do is you could create a, you know, because you're not creating free content, I wouldn't do this, but in theory, you could create a private newsletter or a private podcast, either pre-recorded or pre-written that people subscribe to in a sequence or that goes out live every day or every week or every month. But I'd rather you give away content for free for a while before you start thinking about that. So leverage comes last. So get busy doing, get busy, then get picky, I always say, and that'll help you kind of create more leverage as you build that audience, as you build that proof of concept, as you build the proof that you're great at what you do. And that just takes time. You got to put in some years for that. And you've got a lot of credibility, so you can do that quicker than others, but you want to build that body of work and build up demand, and then think about how you're going to monetize and create more leverage. But then, just as I mentioned, it doesn't stop you from selling your templates, your courses, from building a lower price membership that's low touch, high profit, that kind of thing. So that's all for now, my friend. I hope that answers your question. This was longer than I expected it to be. So I'm glad we kind of went a little bit deep here. I hope this helps, and I think it'll help other people. So let me know if you've got any questions. And as always, if you have questions, you want me to do an audio like this, let me know. I may publish them publicly, but I'm more than happy to do an audio answer to your question and put it in the audio file. So I'll leave you there for now, my friends. And if you like this content, if you like working here, if you like being a member of this group, please share it with a friend. That's how I get the word out there. It's your testimonials and your referrals are the primary way that I'm going to grow, because I don't have, this is a side, this, as I mentioned, 20% of my business is this mentoring side of things. And I try to make it a very price accessible type of way to learn and grow. So the best way to do that is to help me share it with a friend or a colleague that would get value out of it. It goes a long way. And I always appreciate it when you do. Okay, my friends, you take care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.